You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the 52nd show, which means Saxon's Creed is a year old. The title of this message, unless Yahweh changes it, is Wisdom's Child, Part 2. I want to address something that is always on my heart because I want to gather the tribes. That's one of my purposes. I've told you before that my purpose is to clarify things and make it clear. It runs through my being to do such a thing, and I do it in various ways. It's a gift Yahweh has given me. Now, when we speak of gathering the tribes, there have been many things that have gone on throughout the time, throughout the centuries. And this has got to stop, because it is doing us no good to keep dividing and subdividing, and then subdividing again. Because with each subdivision, we grow weaker as a people. In the first place, Yahweh does not want religion. And I'm going to tell you what causes the divisions. It's not only the Jew that's causing these divisions, but it is what is known as the religious spirit. There are people within churches that get so, I don't know how to put it to you, but they just get so crazy about doctrine that they believe that everybody else should believe the way they do, or they're an enemy. And this has happened over and over and over, and I'm sure Yahweh does not want such a thing. Now, as Eli and I were doing the 13th show of the Revelation, the series of Revelation, I got an email, a comment on the video, and I know who wrote it. I shan't say exactly who wrote it, but okay. I just want to tell you what they're saying in the first place. It says, David James, Bertrand Comparé, James Wickstrom, E. Raymond Capp, Dan Gaiman, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, William Fink, and Clifton Emmerheiser all believe in the utter and complete extermination of all Jews and the non-Adamic races. Okay. Well, let me correct something immediately. I know who's speaking for these people, and I'll give you a hint. It's they're within the names that were just said. Now, I asked Andrew Carrington Hitchcock if he believes in the extermination of all Jews and non-Adamic races. And, of course, he believes in the extermination of all Jews. But he's never said, and he told me this, that he's never said anything about the non-Adamic races. Now, personally, I've listened to and I'm involved in doing all of Bertrand Comparé's cleaning up his sermons, and I have yet to hear him say such a thing. Now, he definitely says there's going to be a complete extermination of all Jews. I agree with that. Now, I've listened to Mr. Wickstrom for quite some time, and I've never heard him say anything to that effect. Of course, he believes in the extermination of all Jews, and that that's biblical. But I asked him personally, and he said, no, he's never said that, because Yahweh has made pure races other than our race. Now, I can't speak for Mr. Wickstrom or any of these people, really. I just know that I got an answer from two of them. I don't know. I've never seen E. Raymond Capt say such a thing either. Now, I don't know who Dan Gaiman is. I do know William Fink and Clifton Emmerheiser are both exterminationalists. They believe that what he's saying right here. So he goes on in this particular comment, and he says, if the truth, I told him that I don't wish to teach anything that will scatter the sheep. See, if I'm trying to gather the flock, I'm not looking for reasons to push them away. I'm looking to gather them. Now, if they believed something that is just, you know, if they believed that homosexuality was, biblical, that would be a reason to, you know, push him away. But if you believed in one seed line and you believed in two seed line, maybe you could understand why somebody doesn't believe in two seed line and why somebody does. And I don't believe that would be a reason to push somebody away necessarily. It could be, but not necessarily. Why do I say that? Because Yahweh himself, when he judges all of us, all of creation, we will see his wisdom in his judgments. He can do what he wishes. Now, he has guidelines he set for himself. But he can do what he wishes in the sense of, are you going to stop him? So, Fink and Emmerheiser, Mr. Clifton Emmerheiser and Mr. William Fink. I like Clifton's work. I've seen Clifton's work. I like it. I think he's very wise. If Mr. Fink and Mr. Emmerheiser wish to believe that there will be an extermination of all the races other than the Adamic race, it's not such a big deal, except if they're using that to cause trouble. Now, they have pinned themselves to the corner with this and separated themselves from all who do not believe in this way. And that's okay if you want to keep dividing. If you're using a teaching to scatter the sheep, beware. We cannot continue to keep separating over petty differences. Now, I had written back in this with a comment, and I said that Eli and I do not believe the same either in some respects. Eli believes in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that they're three separate in a sense. Now, this Trinity doctrine has separated many a church in its day. but I'm going to show you how I will just ignore that. And it should have been ignored at that time. Because Yahweh will reveal it to us in his good time. You may think you're right. I may think I'm right. And one of us is going to find out we're wrong. However, that probably isn't going to change whether you're going into the kingdom or not. This is what my point is. We cannot continue to keep scattering and keep shedding out into divisions every time we come up with a disagreement. The white race is full of disagreements. At some point, we have to take these petty differences and put them aside. And the way I put it is this: Yahweh will hash this out. Now, Eli believes the way he believes. I understand why Eli believes the way he believes. And there's many people that do believe that particular thing. Yet, Eli and I agree on hundreds of other things, or thousands of other things. So should I let Eli and I split up because he believes in the Trinity, and I believe that Yahweh was the Father in the flesh, and that all three are one, and that these are different manifestations? You see, when I look in the Bible, I notice one thing about the three of them. We do not have three gods, and I know that Comparé has said that. I'm 100% positive. And I agree 100% with him. Because the way I explain that is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Now, how do I explain that this is the Father in the flesh? Well, I've explained it on my show two or three times already in the past, and you'll hear it. But I'll explain it to you again. You see, a man is known by his word, and the Father is known by his word. You understand? You know, before this message, I asked him to make sure that I would explain this to you, my brothers and sisters, so that we would join together and so that you would understand that there is no longer any time for division over petty differences. So, a man is known by his word. From the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth. Well, when Yahweh created the world, the Word was there in the beginning with him. How did he create the world? Through his wisdom and his knowledge. He spoke it into existence. He said, "Let there be light." And there was. And he spoke it all into existence by his Word. Yes. And so, that very Word, from the abundance of Yahweh's heart, speaketh his mouth. You can't disagree with that, can you? Well, he took that word, which is part of him, which has the essence of him, which is everything to do with him, and he took that word and put it in a body. Thus, this body is still him. Although this living body, which he is able to do, is his word. That's why Yeshua, Yahweh saves, could not disobey the Father. It would be disobeying his own self. It would be disobeying his own word. And you all know that he won't do that. So what I always say to people is, every time I notice these, I call it manifestations of Yahweh. Okay, there's three that we talk about, the Father, the Son, although the Father, let's say the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Now the Father is the judge, the Son is the Word, but he's also known as the truth because his word is truth, and the Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of truth. So, I've noticed that every time Yahweh appears, or the Spirit, or Yeshua, you'll notice that two of them are present each time. Not all three necessarily. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I can give you instances of that. When Yeshua was there, the Spirit came down and fell upon him like a dove. There's two of the three. We didn't see the Father at that time. Another time, Yeshua took a couple of the disciples, and the Father appeared and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Two again. Moses goes up on the bush, up to get the Ten Commandments. He sees Yahweh, and when he comes down, he is glowing with Shekinah glory, which is the Spirit. He's glowing. This is one of the things that the Adamic race has lost besides eternal life. This is what we will be restored. No other race will be restored these things, because they haven't lost them. Yahweh is going to redeem us. You can't redeem something you've never lost. So we see two again in that case. And if you notice, there's other cases, and you'll notice the same thing. Now, maybe somebody could prove me wrong. Maybe somebody knows better than I do. But Yahweh is the Father in the flesh. We do notice that Philip said to Yeshua, "Show us the Father." And he said, "Philip, have I been with you so long that you don't know the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Now, why did he do what he did with Yeshua? Well, he wasn't just going to come down to earth and do what he was doing. He is going to stay in the heavenly. But yet, he would be on earth at the same time. You see, he is omniscient. He can be omnipresent, which the devil cannot do. And in the same thing, it is my personal belief that when it's time for the kingdom to come down, Yahweh himself will still reside in heaven, yet his word in the risen body will come down here and reign. Yet he himself will still be in heaven. Do you understand? It's the same as when he came down before. He's going to do the same thing again. And that's his business. So if you do not believe the way that I do, you don't believe that, that Yeshua is the Father in the flesh. I've never heard anybody explain it the way I did. And I believe that was given to me by Yahweh himself, because I believe that's exactly what the story is. Now, if you do not agree with me, I have no problem with that. I can understand. I've seen scriptures where it says about that there's a difference of the Father. My Son will sit, on the right hand of the Father, and all these different scriptures. So we have to be able to look at things objectively and not castigate one another and cast one another off and divide every time we come up with some kind of a little disagreement? Does it really matter if the Father were three or if he was one? He's still who he is. And if I am wrong, he shall show me. And if Eli is wrong, he shall show Eli. Do you think that there's going to be nothing left to learn when we go to the kingdom, or when the kingdom comes here, should I say? So, you know, one of the things that was said in this particular comment was, if truth scatters the sheep, maybe they are not sheep. If truth offends them, we are to separate ourselves from them until they repent and believe. 2 Corinthians 6:14. And then he goes on talking about, here are what sounds to me like extermination verses from the Old Testament. Now, I'm not going to go through all that. I love it, you know, the idea that it's, you can say it's biblical, and I can look at it objectively. But I happen to know that the outer court of the New Jerusalem is for the Gentiles, and we are not the Gentiles. Because I once thought I was a second-class citizen, or one of the other families of the earth. Yes, in the kingdom, there will be other races upon the earth. Now, that doesn't mean any hybrid race is gonzo. I agree with that 100%. And today, it's worse than it has ever been upon the earth. So today, it is the extermination view, or exterminationalist view, is more true than it was in centuries past, because of the race mixing, because of the misogyny. But remember, there are people that have died before all this race mixing had happened. Well, and all I can say is, you must remember that Yahweh had pure races. I do not believe the Negro race originated on this planet. I believe in the same way as Dr. Wesley Swift believes. And I also know that they can't farm. So it tells me something about those people. So very suspect that they're not a creation of Yahweh. Why do I say the blacks are not a creation of Yahweh? Because Yahweh's creations are always progressive. Yahweh's creations, I mean, almost everyone I can ever think of, they're adaptive. They grow. We're a lot taller than we used to be. Except for giants. But the black race is regressive. And it's a very nasty race. I have met some blacks that were decent people. But for the most part, they've shown their cards. They're right in locking hands with the devil's children. But what my point is Yahweh had races here before the Adamic race. And if he created them, they were pure. Now, what has happened in over time is they've been destroyed in the same way that we're being destroyed. But through all the centuries, people that were pure had died. And they are in waiting places just like we will be in waiting places, correct? We go right to the Father now instead of going to the caves because Yeshua unlocked those. And so, absent from the body, present with Yahweh for us. So that is how you can see that there might be other families in the new kingdom. They will not live with us, no. We will not race mix with them, no. They will live somewhere else upon the earth than us. However, the Bible says that they will be required to come to worship Yahweh at certain times of the year. And if they don't, they will be nixed. And besides, just pure common sense would tell you, why bother warning the other races with a warning like this? If you bless Abraham's seed, you shall be blessed. If you curse the seed of Abraham, you shall be cursed. He's speaking to the other people. Why even bother to say it if all of them are cursed except for us? Correct? Now listen, I don't want to see a lot of these races. I hope they don't make the kingdom. These beasts of the field are just, it's horrible. I didn't want to see them in the first place, never mind see them today, never mind see them tomorrow in somewhere in the world. I never want to see them again. I never wanted to see them in the first place. But if Fink and Emma Heiser wish to believe this, that's not a reason to split. I would just say, well, that's what you believe. I believe a little differently. I mean, we believe a thousand ways the same, and yet just this one little thing, we need to split everything up. We need to get away from all the people. It doesn't make any sense. Now, I've got my ideas on why Mr. Emmerheiser has been I don't know if, how I should say it, but he's been pinned to the corner. And he's done it with agreement. So, he is responsible. So, in other words, he's separate. What would you do, what would Mr. Fink and Emmerheiser do if Yahweh says, you're wrong? Would they separate from Yahweh? My point is this. These are petty differences. You know when you're going to find out whether you're right or wrong? Is when I said, when you see the wisdom of Yahweh's judgment, you will see wisdom in his judgment, in the way he brought the world forth, in the way he made the creatures, in the way he judges all of us, you will see his glory and his wisdom. We will find out we're wrong about certain things. I guarantee that. So if you're afraid to find out that you're wrong, well, fear no longer, because you're going to find out you're wrong. Now, I'm going to tell you that it's a religious spirit that causes these divisions. It's not only the religious spirit, but it's the Jews that take advantage of these things and have created all these different religions. You see, it has done no good for us to split. We might have split from Mother Babylon. That was good. We came out from her. But what happened after that? We split into a thousand different splinters. When before we were one, then we were two sticks. Now we're splintered. But now all those splinters that were called the Protestant Church are now back to ascribing to the Vatican. Did you know that? There are no more Protestants. They may have the name, the old name the Protestant had, but they have all ascribed back to the Vatican. Don't believe me? Look it up yourself and find out. The Baptists have been penetrated like most of these sects by the Freemasons. So, my point is that whether somebody believes this or doesn't believe that, or doesn't believe exactly the way you do, as long as it doesn't cross certain lines. If you told me you thought that homosexuality was okay with Yahweh or something, you know the lines that shouldn't be crossed, really. But when we're talking about something like you believe in exterminationalism, you believe that all races other than the Adamic race will not be in the kingdom, they will be completely gone. Well, that's fine if you wish to believe that, because that doesn't really change anything. Unless you're using that as a tool and you're trying to harm the flock with it. Now, we all believe that Yahweh has made other pure races. We also believe that no hybrids, we believe the same as the exterminationists, that no hybrids shall enter the kingdom of God in any way, shape, or form. Because it's biblical in the sense of, we've seen it so many times, that Yahweh has destroyed because of race mixing. Yahweh does not want you to mix things. He says so within his laws. And he also, Yeshua said, any tree or any plant that is not planted by my Father shall be plucked up. You see, he created things pure, and the devil and his children have corrupted the pure things that he has created. They've also done this with our doctrines. Therefore, we can only do the best we can, and we have to allow each other to make mistakes. You see, I make mistakes. You make mistakes. You didn't always believe this way. So then people should have cast you off years ago until you believed this way, right? No. You see, when you're learning, You're in a different place. All of us are in different places. Some of us have been around for years. Some of us are new. There'll be newer ones than us. And they won't believe everything we believe. They're just coming to the knowledge of who the Israelites are. So if they don't believe the way we believe exactly, what you're saying we should do is kick them. Get out of here. You don't believe properly. Well, that's not so. What do you think? What do you think a pastor is for? What did the Apostle Paul have to do in his ministry? If he lived the way you lived, there'd be nobody left. He would have been in a room by himself with Timothy and Titus and a few other people, and that would be it. He'd say, we all got to just hide and, separate ourselves until they come to the truth. But we'll just stay in this room until they do. Now, there's another division that goes on. You see, within CI, it is there's been a lot of division. And this is who I'm addressing this division about, because we don't need to join up with the Judeo-Christians. That's pretty obvious. However, we as CI must allow others to make mistakes as long as they're not, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to keep explaining that to you. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So if a person believes in one seed line and the other one believes in two seed line, as long as they're not saying that the Jews can go to heaven and all this kind of stuff, and and some of them do, but I mean, there's a borderline, but then again, there's a line of forgiveness. We're no longer at a time where we need to be splintered. You see, because the land without walls is here for us to gather, not splinter. We need to take these splinters and bring them back into the two sticks and right back into one stick. And I'm not talking about universalism. Oh no, I'm not a universalist. No, 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 no. So when the splits come, because they are attuned to the Jews, we have William Fink calling Eli James a Jew, and this has happened, this not just these two or other two, and now, then you have name-calling like the Jews do. We're not Jews, let's not do this stuff. The funny thing is that I've never seen any proof that Eli is a Jew. I've heard he was a Jew, but I've never heard of any proof proving he was a Jew. However, William Fink, I also heard, was a Jew. And I have seen a paper written about it with some severe evidence. However, I'm not going to judge Mr. Fink. And I certainly don't believe Eli's a Jew. These two once had a show together. And it was pretty powerful because William Fink knows a lot of things. He knows a lot about Roman history and so on and so forth, which is very interesting. But he has, in his separation with Eli James, he has taken Clifton along with him. And that we did not need. We needed Clifton to stay out with all of CI and be involved with CI. And it makes me wonder about this isolation, what the purpose of it really is. Mr. Emmerheiser is a valuable man. And he has been isolated. And I don't particularly think it was Yahweh's will that he would be isolated. However, Yahweh shall speak for himself. Now, I don't know if William Fink is a Jew. But if he is, Yahweh will let us know in good time, and we will see what Yahweh will do about it. I'm not against Mr. William Fink. I'm not against Mr. Clifton Emmerheiser. They have not done anything to me whatsoever. And this speaking that I'm speaking about now is not to hurt anyone's feelings. I am nobody. You can look at me as a mediator, not a mediator like Yeshua is, but a lesser mediator. The splintering in CI has to stop. We know that there are people that have penetrated CI that are out to destroy it. And we know why. And they deliberately teach things that will give CI a bad name. This exterminationist doctrine can be such a vehicle. But also being a universalist would be a same kind of a destructive vehicle. I have had words with people in CI. And I don't know if they've forgiven me, but I have forgiven them and will continue to forgive them. Because I love them, they're my brothers and sisters. I wish not to hurt them. If I rebuke you, or you rebuke me, I will forgive you. I can't speak whether you'll forgive me. But people don't just rebuke somebody for no reason at all. So, like I said, we went from one to two sticks. Then we became splintered into all kinds of splinters. Do you think this is the will of Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen? Do you, dear listener, brothers and sisters around the world, do you think that we would be stronger if we were one stick, one nice big fat club? To beat the Jew's head in? Or would we be more effective as being a splinter all over the place? It's got to stop. Because these are the days of the gathering of the tribes. We once were gathered. We once had the greatest warriors. Judah was the greatest warrior. And now, many of our people don't know who they are, but there is a movement. There is an undercurrent. There is, Yahweh is moving his spirit. Yahweh is opening the eyes, as I said last week, as we speak the truth. You see, this gospel is not the gospel that has been taught for the last maybe 200 years. I don't know what was taught before that, but it was a lot better than what has been taught in the last 200 years, obviously, because this is they are now teaching the Jewish version of Christianity, the Jewish Jesus. It's a hybrid religion. It's an abomination to Yahweh himself, and he is offended by it. So, of course, we would not join with them. However, amongst us who know this true gospel that must be preached, see, this gospel, you see, this is the gospel of the kingdom of God, not the gospel of prosperity, not necessarily the gospel of personal salvation, but rather national salvation. Oh, yes, personal salvation does have a bit to do with it. But this is the kingdom of God. When the disciples preached, when Yeshua preached, Yahweh saves, Yahweh in the flesh. I'll maintain that no matter what somebody else believes. But then again, I give them the right to believe that if they wish. It doesn't change anything. They still believe every other thing that I believe practically. It's only a little thing. It's not a reason to split over. We need to preach the kingdom of God. That's what Yeshua in the flesh, Yahweh in the flesh, preached the kingdom of God. That's what CI preaches. We need to preach the salvation of nations. We need national salvation now more than we've ever needed national salvation. And us splitting up and being split up into splinters seriously weakens the message. Can we agree to disagree mildly over a few things, as long as they're not ridiculous things? Shall we all go running away from everybody that doesn't believe? You know, if I had a whole parish full of people or congregation full of people, and I says, well, everybody that doesn't believe exactly the way everyone else believes, leave right now. I don't know who would be left. Do you understand the point? That it's really not that doctrine. If you're a religious spirit, then these things matter very, very much to you. A religious spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are men. We have faults. We need correction. We're not always right. But some of us, a religious spirit, is always right. And doesn't need any correction. Will not accept any correction. And this is the very reason I'm doing Wisdom's Child about the Proverbs. Because you, my dear brothers and sisters, may wish to read the Proverbs. Oh, you've read them before, but this time through, and if you listen to my shows on them, I'll read them for you. Maybe you'll have a deeper understanding of what I'm trying to tell you. Who am I? I'm nobody. You may have been here for 40 years before me. You may be here 60 years before me. But you know what I often say to people? I love learning. And I always remain teachable. You can't be incorrigible. I don't care if you've been around 40 years. That doesn't mean you're right about everything. And that doesn't mean you can't be corrected. And that doesn't mean that you are above correction or above rebuke. I often say that I could learn something about life from a 4-year-old child that I never knew. Now, this is the way to be when it comes to learning. Because do you think I'm just saying that for the sake of saying? No, I know. You know, you'd be surprised, parents out there, that you have problems every day. And if you were to ask your children what they would think about your problem, you may find out that they actually have an answer for you. And the answer is so simple that you would have never thought of it. So, it's time for the splinters to join until we become one big club. So, let us go now and begin and continue, I should say, in the Proverbs. You know, It's amazing what's in these Proverbs. Just remember, if you've missed last week, the first three chapters were done last week. Let me continue on with Proverbs chapter 4. And as I speak these, some of the things that I just spoke to all of you about, I'm sure Yahweh will hit you somewhere here, as well as my own self. Verse 1. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Again, the devil's children in their version of Judeo-Christianity teaches them that they no longer have to keep the commandments, that the law is gone. All they have to do is say that prayer. That's why we would separate from somebody like them. Over and over and over, the Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Over and over and over, whether it's Old Testament, whether it's New Testament, we are told the same thing. Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. You see, if you do not keep his commandments, you shall not live. Not now, and not in the kingdom. Get wisdom, he says. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. This is wisdom. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now, what do the overcomers in the book of Revelation get? They get a crown of glory. They have overcome. And if I receive the crown and somebody else receive, all of us who receive the crown shall cast our crowns down before Yahweh. For all came from him, and all shall return to him. Hear. See, this is the problem with people. They know it all. They don't want to hear. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. You see, we have been told in the first three chapters already, and right here just previously, that if we would obey Yahweh's commandments, and that we would seek knowledge. Remember, he says, my people die for the lack of knowledge. So what he wants us to do is obey his commandments, to ask him for wisdom and knowledge. And when we get this knowledge and understand it, we will be able to apply this knowledge, which is wisdom. Wisdom will give you long life. Wisdom shall give you riches and honor. Wisdom shall give you favor with Yahweh and favor with the men of our race. You'll never have favor with a Jew. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Be teachable is what he's saying. Be teachable. You don't know it all. You've been wrong before. You'll be wrong again. And that goes for me. That goes for anybody. I don't care how long you've been around. Always remain teachable. You'll be surprised that if you keep humble in that way, you shall be exalted. That isn't that what he says? He who humbles himself shall be exalted. He who exalts himself shall be humbled. Therefore, what he's saying in the same way here is that if you remain teachable, that's being humble. And that will exalt you because you will remain teachable and you will always have, you know, a hand in instruction. If somebody instructs you to do something and they haven't been around as long as you, you'll be able to take that and learn something from it. Rather than being full of pride and exalting yourself and saying, I've been around a lot longer than you. I can't learn anything from you. You're nobody. You don't know anything. Humble yourself. He who humbles himself shall be exalted. He who exalts himself shall be humbled. Always remain teachable. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You know, I'm going to tell you a little something. The closer you get to Yahweh, the more you obey his laws. The shining light that he's talking about is Shekinah glory. Maybe in a lesser light, not as vibrant as it will be when we are restored. But the closer you are to Yahweh and the more you obey him and the more you forgive your brothers, and you know, it talked about keeping mercy. We all must remember to be merciful. A religious spirit is not merciful. A religious spirit is a destroyer. A religious spirit is a vile bird, a hateful bird. It's very cold, very demonic. One must be careful around religious spirits. Hearken unto my words. I'm telling you something right there. Don't let religious spirits influence you. Don't let them isolate you. Don't let them influence you. Because they are not giving forth the correct light. And when somebody doesn't give the correct light, it means it's a distorted light. And that tells me it's the light of Lucifer and of his children. Yes. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them. Remember I told you, seek the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Remember I told you that you would have to search for these rubies. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. You would have to search for wisdom, I'm saying. You would have to ask Yahweh to give it to you, help you to find it. See what it's saying? For they are life unto those that find them. His words are life to those that find them. See, they had to seek them in order to find them. And health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Chapter 5. Let's move along to that. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. A strange woman I also told you last week can mean a woman of another race. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Now this is what happens. This is what happens. He's talking about whores, and they can be whores of our own race that have lost their ways. When he says that her ways are movable, we remember about how many people are like the foam on the sea. They don't fight the current. They go any way the sea would go, or any way the cloud goes, they just go along with it. Any way the wind blows, nothing really matters much to me. Remember? Her ways are movable, whereas we stand strong to the best we can. Her ways are not grounded on Yahweh's ways. Her ways will destroy you. So like the politicians, they get them to go into a strange woman's house, and then they've got something on them. They lose their honor. You see what it says right here? So he says, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Right, listen now. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. So what happens to that politician when they get something on him like this? His honor is gone, and now he will suffer because he will be under the Jew who has this blackmail on him for years. So again, listen again, verse 9, verse 8. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh near the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor to others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and the rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thy own, and not strangers with thee. Think on these things, ladies and gentlemen. Think on these things. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of Yahweh, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Give heed, ladies and gentlemen, give heed. And now we'll go to the next chapter, chapter 6. My son, if thou be a surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. When you are a surety, it means that you're going to sign that, you know, say if you had a loan, your friend had a loan, and you'd be a surety for him, or, you know, something like that. That means if he didn't pay for the loan, you'd be stuck paying for it. You're his surety. So let's listen in that light again. My son, if thou be a surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, made a covenant, you know, you have signed the paper with a Jew for a loan, perhaps, thou art snared but with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You might have pledged an oath and signed it, you see. Now you'll be responsible for it. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Listen to this, Freemasons. I'm going to say this again. And this is 12 and 13, just very interestingly. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. I'm pausing there for a reason. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. He winketh with his eyes. Hand signs, signs with your feet, winking, hoodwinked. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. Listen to this. He soweth discord among the brethren. He scattereth the sheep. You see what I mean? Now, that doesn't say that there. I said that. He soweth discord. He divides and splinters the brethren. That's my words. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. I love this. I want you to pay attention to this very much now. We're talking about something that Yahweh hates. You don't hear that many things that Yahweh hates. You know he hates the Edomites. He hates Esau. But there's other things he hates too. These six things doth Yahweh hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Let's pay attention now. A proud look. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren, or among brethren. I'm going to say them again, in case you were drifting, in case you did not hear. If any man have an ear, let him hear now. These six things doth Yahweh hate. Yea, even seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. I see the Jew and the Negro right there in those three very quickly. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. I see the Jew and the Negro in those as well. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment again, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. Now, this is a repeat from the previous three chapters right here. These two, this he's advising you this again. So it must be important if he repeated it. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Listen to this. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So, dear listeners, are you above the law? Well, we see that many of the people in our country are, or are getting away with being that way because it's the devil's time at this point. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Are you above reproofs of instruction? Because, I'm going to say it again, for the commandment is a lamp. You see, why is it a lamp? It's a lamp because it will help you not to stumble. A commandment, and it goes on, and the law is light. You see, the light throws the darkness away from it. If you are in the way, he said earlier that men who walk in darkness stumble, but they don't know what they're stumbling upon. Why don't they know why they're stumbling? Because they don't have the commandment, which is a lamp, to help them to see their way in righteous paths. And the law, they don't obey the law. The law is light. You know, the police officers today and the judges, well, they're all police officers and they have badges, but deliberately they don't know what the commandments are and they don't know what the law is. But it's done deliberately because today's police and today's judges are not obeying the law. But many of them don't know it. They think if they're ignorant of it, then they can get away with it. However, it's the people above them that don't want them to know the laws, because if they knew what the laws were, they couldn't continue in their job, because they'd find out on a daily basis, as a police officer or a judge, you are continually breaking the law and breaking the law and breaking the law. Because you don't know what the law is. So if they had the law and understood the law, they couldn't do that job because they'd be breaking the law knowingly. Therefore, they don't wish them to know the law. And therefore, they, by not knowing it, they can keep disobeying it without, and it won't bother them. That's what I should say. So the commandment is a lamp. It will keep your way. It'll show you the path of the correct path. If you were in the darkness, it said men of darkness. I'm repeating myself. It said men who walk in darkness don't know what they're stumbling over. But we that walk in the light, the commandments of Yahweh are a lamp. And the law is light. Therefore, we can see the path to walk without stumbling over something. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Yes, when you're a child, you need to be reproved. And as an adult, we sometimes need to be reproved. But, you know, it's all for the good, because it's a light unto you, and it keeps you in the correct path, and it keeps you from the crooked path. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, And the adulteress will hunt, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief, if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold, and shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroy his own soul. Now remember, adultery means much more than just cheating on your spouse. Adultery also means race mixing. And that's why it says a strange woman as well. You see? But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Well, today's different, isn't it? You can't be a man today. You can, but you'll pay for it dearly. Because we're living in the time of Jacob's trouble. So it says, for jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Well, that's the end of chapter 6. 3 chapters per. Plus a sermon, a mini sermon. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I hope we do gather the tribes. I hope that we can become strong together. You know, one thing I did not mention was our Aryan brothers. Now, our Aryan brothers do not believe the way we believe, yet they do believe and know who our enemy is. And at least they know they are at war with this enemy. Now, they call us Jew lovers because they don't understand at this point. They don't have the full picture. They don't understand that the Bible, or the scriptures, or the parchments, are not Jewish literature whatsoever. Maybe the Book of Esther is, because that was shoved in there, and nobody believes it should even be in there. But we need to pray for these people, because they are our brothers. No, they don't believe exactly like we do, and they kind of hate us at this point. But we need to pray for these people, because they're half the way there. It will take a miracle of Yahweh. It will take some time, but he shall do it, for them to come to the understanding. And I've been praying, and I ask each one of you to do the same for our Aryan brothers. No, I will not kick them away because they do not believe exactly like I believe. See, the Judeo-Christian is a whole nother animal. They are our brothers, but they are an abomination. I'm not saying that the Aryan Brothers not loving Yahweh is not an abomination, but it's a different kind of a thing. I suggest, and you don't have to listen to me, who am I? I'm just another voice in the wilderness calling out to you, dear brother, and you, dear sister. I suggest that you may have understanding about how to bring us together and different ideas than I've already spoken about. And may you give sermons on this. But don't waste your time if these sermons are designed to split us apart and cause more division. If you wish to cause more division, you'd better choke. You'd be better off choking yourself. Be a helper in gathering the tribes. Ask Yahweh to show you the way. Love your brothers and sisters. No, they may not believe exactly the way you do, but you may find that you could be wrong in things too. Have mercy and bind it about thy neck. For he who has mercy shall obtain mercy. He who is unmerciful to his brothers and sisters shall not obtain mercy. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.